From the editors at Paranormal Underground and Ghost Night Publishing, welcome to Paranormal Underground Presents, where you can explore the unexplained with our panel and special guests.
All right, welcome. Big show today. It's Karen, and I'm really excited to share what we have for you in this podcast. Recently, Scott Mannon and I sat down and we talked with Ghost Adventures Zach Bagans from the Travel Channel, and we did an interview with Zach, and we decided that what we wanted to do is allow you to hear the interview in its entirety, so this podcast is that interview. So what you'll hear in just a few minutes is Scott and I asking Zach a bunch of questions. If you want to read more about Ghost Adventures or read more about Zach, you can visit our website, and it is in our June issue. There's an article on Ghost Adventures. Or you can also go to the Travel Channel website, which is www.travelchannel.com. I believe it's /Ghost Adventures, and you can see more about Ghost Adventures there, too. They're gearing up for their second season, and it's bound to be a good one. So let's go ahead and get started.
So how's it going, Zach?
It's going very well. You know, we're just extremely busy shooting the new season. So, it's going really well, though. Excellent. Doing some really cool investigations.
Oh, yeah. We're all excited to see the new season.
Have you guys heard of Bill Chappell?
The name sounds familiar.
Okay, yeah, that's who we work with in regards to our scientific sign side. He built like the ovulus and all that kind of stuff. So
digital housing.
Work with him. He built us a lot of cool equipment, and we just give him ideas, and he'll come out and build us the equipment. So.
Yep, I have a box being built right now. As a matter of fact.
Okay, very cool. I know you guys probably know, we use a lot of trigger objects in our investigations. And season two, it's really cool because it's been a real kind of a learning experience for us because we created the documentary. And that was just a year and a half in the making, just investigation after investigation. And that's when we were just new to it. We were fresh. You know, we didn't claim we were professional investigators. We didn't know a whole lot of stuff. We just went out there with a curious side to explore this. And then, you know, a couple years after that was done filming, we did really nonstop research, knowledge. We worked with a lot of people like Mark and Debbie Constantino, Dave Schrader at Darkness, and just a lot of people in the industry. And that's how we really gained our knowledge, through them. And that's kind of the reason why we formed the Ghost Adventures crew, the GAC, is I think it's something where you can read books about it and try and learn, not gain knowledge through that route, but we like learning from other people, and that's why we formed kind of our Ghost Adventures crew as well, just to kind of unite, share evidence and stuff like that, share tactics.
Zach, how did you meet the rest of your team? I mean, how did that all come together originally?
It was kind of weird. I moved to Las Vegas back in, 90. Actually, I was here in Vegas. I left in 95. I met Nick Groff a while ago, maybe 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, here in Las Vegas. I actually used to be a wedding DJ. I had a DJ business here in Vegas, and, you know, I got on the microphone and did my thing, and I actually met Nick, who actually, he ended up being a client of mine, and I ended up DJing his wedding. And at the first, you know, when we sat down to discuss wedding and stuff like that, we just got into more, you know, I went to a film school that really specialized in documentary filmmaking. I just liked the investigative side to it. And after that, I talked to Nick, and he was involved in film school as well. One day after the wedding, you know, we became kind of friends, and we just started talking about paranormal, because ever since I was a little kid, I've just always been obsessed with history and the paranormal. And whenever I was little and I'd go to these old towns, you know, with my parents or whatever, I would always look at the buildings and just try and imagine what it was like back then, and, you know, how people 100 years ago looked at the same building I'm looking at. It was really weird. I just had that side to me always. But I met Nick, and we started talking about the paranormal, and he had a fascination with it. So we just started really talking about it. One thing led to another. We just kind of invested a lot of time, effort, and money, and we hired this other camera guy that Nick knew here in Vegas named Aaron. Aaron just did a ton of camera work for, like, the UFC. He did all the behind-the-scenes stuff for the Superman, the movie, the Saw movies. And we were like, yeah, man, can we get him on a shoestring budget? And the three of us just got in my car one day, and we hit the roads in Nevada, and we just went and explored all these old mining towns. We just came up with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage. We got some little night vision cameras. Then we just got some evidence that changed all of our lives. We glued a bunch of the footage together to try and squeeze it in a documentary format. And we didn't know anybody. So we just got some stuff there. And I remember when Nick first saw this apparition figure that we got out of Virginia City, he called me literally in the middle of the night screaming. And when I went over there, I just started shaking uncontrollably when I saw this. So put this together, and we entered it in some film festivals, and both film festivals, New York International, we got nominated for Best Feature Film, and then the Erie Horror Film Festival, the New York Festival, we won for Best Feature Documentary, and then the Erie Horror Film Festival, we got nominated for Best Feature Film. And then one thing led to another, and it ended up on Sci-Fi Channel. It wasn't all about that for me or us or anything. It was just the way that the three of us came together and how we met, the chemistry that we had together, and how diverse each and every one of us is from each other. We made up a really cool crew. And after the documentary, when we really got involved in this and started gaining all of our knowledge, kind of saw that this is where we are, this is where we need to be. I got involved from an experience I had, about 5 years ago.
I got to ask this question because, and I think I already know the answer, but our readers will want to know, is, are you a believer, and what was the first thing that happened to make you a believer?
I believe in ghosts just as people believe that dogs exist on this planet. It's just that easy to say for me. And when you become a believer, your perception of life and just looking at people and society and cars and, I mean, trees, just everything looks different now. It's kind of like you've been abducted by aliens, and you know that you went through that experience. When you get back down into Earth here, you just look at everybody different, and you try and tell them what happened to you, and you don't feel good when it's just going in one ear and out the other. You just want to grab them and shake them. And just say, look, this really happened. This really happened. When you have an experience that's so real, you really want to spend the rest of your time trying to show others what you experienced. And that's what I'm doing. And my experience occurred in Trenton, Michigan, about 6 years ago. I moved into this little historic shipyard town called Trenton, Michigan. And I moved into this really, really old apartment building and that sat right on this rural old historic park. And I remember moving in there and looking at the electrical panel, and it had like an old sticker on there from like 1947 or something like that. And about a month after I moved in there, for that entire month, I smelled like a dead body smell in my room. And I ended up taking all my furniture, throwing away, thinking like a cat or something died up in there or something, but it never went away. And after about a month, you know, I was working a full-time job, doing the 9-to-5, you know, very regular kind of lifestyle. And I went to bed, and every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would be waken up by a woman screaming my full name, Zachary, and she would scream it for a good minute to 2 minutes, and I would wake up and. Yeah, the first night, hey, did I just hear this? Because you rationalize. I think when everybody has their first experience with the paranormal, they rationalize it. They don't believe it because they didn't believe it before. So now they're trying to make themselves believe, and that's where you have that area of disbelief until it happens again or until it's this vivid about what I'm about to tell you. Then the next night, 3 a.m., same thing. This happened for about 6-7 nights straight. Every single night, same time, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then finally on like the 7th night, she was screaming my full name again. I was sleeping on my stomach. I woke up. I was screaming because someone was on my back. Someone broke into my house and was on my back. Felt like I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I was screaming, saying, get off me, get off me. All of a sudden, about, you know, 30 seconds later, the pressure went away and it was gone. I flipped over and I sat up and I saw a silhouette of a woman standing at the corner of my bed. And I couldn't make out really like facial features of her. I knew by the silhouette I could see her hair and she was dead still and just facing me. And that moment when I looked into her eyes and she looked at me, it was like a jolt of electricity like that went through my body. Then she started to move kind of away from me, but like just still standing still, but moving like off to the side. And that's when I got up and turned my light on. And I was shaking so bad. My heart was beating like a rabbit. And I turned my light on. There's nobody there. I left my door open. I went and sat out in my parking lot. I think I had my white tighties on for like an hour. And man, that was scary as shit. Excuse my French, but it was scary, man. It was very, very creepy. And my sister's wedding was the next week in Hawaii. And I told everybody about it, and I ended up moving out of there really quickly after I got home. It scared me. But then again, I just experienced something very powerful, something surreal, something that a lot of people ask themselves, what is beyond our death? Is there something there? That, coincidentally, has always been a fear of mine, even when I was a younger kid, just the idea of death, the color black. You know, just that emptiness at the end of one's life. Me experiencing this was fear at the present time, but now it was turned into more of a comfort. And I started thinking about it every day. I went to work. It was bothering me at my work. I only could think about that. And what I do now is not because, you know, I'm here and I enjoy it and things happen. I'm doing what I'm doing now because I think what I experienced kind of meant to happen to me. And now, after I can say now, because of hundreds of investigations and all the knowledge that I do consider myself a professional paranormal investigator, and I will be that for life, on or off the air. I will continue to search for the unexplained, but it's now becoming explained by different calibers of evidence we are receiving. And I think something that the Ghost Adventures crew has and what we're doing on the Travel Channel is we're showing what I really appreciate the most is being on the Travel Channel. They have allowed me and my crew to investigate the way that we want to with no big camera crews, with no, there's just rawness there. We use a lot of emotions and that is the one thing that describes my investigation style, emotional energy. We exhibit a lot of emotions in our investigations because we feel when we create emotions, we're also creating an energy. And that energy form is not the battery on our camera, okay? It's not, you know, the electronic pieces that we have. The energy is coming from our emotions. And we feel when we exhibit those emotions, it's like turning a light on in a dark forest and having all those bugs just become attracted to it. That's how we feel. We get some of the evidence that we do. And we don't taunt all the time. The only way that I will taunt is because I was scared in my experience. So when I go and I interview people where we're going, we do focus more on the darker hauntings because that's what got us started, is a darker haunting in my life. And Nick had a similar experience with mine as well. What I want to do is go to these people who actually grab our arms. They shake, they cry, they think they're crazy. We will go there, and there's no right for bullies in the living, nor on the other side. I respect the afterlife. I respect spirits. There are times where just in season two here, we just had a very, very powerful investigation where my emotions were lost. I can't go into too much detail, but we were doing an investigation where there's also an unsolved murder case, which if there's unanswered questions in life, then that may mean a purgatory state afterwards. And I feel that this certain person that is said to haunt this place really got inside of me, literally. And to experience that and to hear the evidence we got surrounding that and to see the visual evidence we got surrounding this, how can you not believe? What we'll do is some of these darker hauntings we go to, we try and help these living people. We try and help them thinking they're not crazy. And to have a person, you know, grab you and shake and cry with real tears coming out their face because of them being attacked, we like that. We go there. We will taunt to elicit a response. getting that evidence and showing those people is closure for them and gratification for us. That's mission accomplished. But in that, the places that we go to where these dark hauntings are, there are spirits that we come across that we feel are trapped there. It happened at Bobby Mackey's. We got evidence of who we think is Pearl Bryan, you know, crying in an EVP. Season 2 that we're filming right now on Travel Channel, we've gotten voices that we've had to call back people that live there and oversee these places, and they just have tears coming out their eyes because it's the same voice they've heard. We recently just called upon a person because I wanted to tell this person, get help for the spirit. Call who you can and get somebody, because if you don't, I'm going back there and I'm going to try and bring in the people myself, because I can't go to bed at night knowing that I've captured a voice, you know, of a spirit whose history that we've already read upon, that is probably the spirit that is there and that is unrested and may still be trapped and held there by some other demonic spirits that the ones that we're after. And it's a very sad thing sometimes when you come across that. You know, the little boy out in the Edinburgh vaults, you know, we brought a lot of stuffed animals for him. We switch gears. So I don't want the public perceiving us as the taunting, provocative ghost hunters. We do that only to the bad spirits who we know that are attacking the living. We try and help the living. But when we do come across the spirits that we feel are nice and passive and sweet, which we do a lot, we switch gears and we will stay there and try and comfort this spirit and let them know that we will get them help. And we just recently did that last week. And it was a very sad thing. You know, sometimes you personally get emotional and you personally get attached to these spirits. And we're there to document evidence. It's not our place to tell spirits to go to the light or anything like that. There's people that I feel are qualified to do that more spiritual assisting kind of stuff. We're simply paranormal investigators. However, when it does come across and we do get that, we do have people that we send out there to help as well. So I just wanted to really state that and reiterate that.
Well, and I think that there is a difference between what you do in real life and what's shown on television. I've talked to other people, and there is.
Yeah, we do that. And the thing, too, is season two is we've been filming a lot of episodes recently, and you're going to see that. The thing is with our show on the Travel Channel, with our documentary, the public is kind of growing with us, and they're going to notice that. And, you know, every investigation, every episode we shoot is so different from the other, because nothing is written, nothing is scripted. Mm-hmm. We go out there, we have a location, we know it's history, we have some people that we're going to interview, and that's what we do. We do a full-on investigation, just as a homicide detective does with an unsolved murder case. We go out there, we find we interview the people, we bang on doors to get anybody that we can. And then we find all the experiences there. We learn all about the dark history. We go there, and the most important thing is you have to become the location. It's within those walls and those rocks that is containing something that we are trying to uncover. And if you can become acclimated with the location, you're going to get a better response. And it's kind of like you right now interviewing me. If you want better answers from me, you've probably done a little more research on me. You've probably maybe, you know, went online and got a little bit more history about me. That's what we do with these spirits, with these entities. We go and we get all who these people may have been. Who did they murder? How bad were they? Did they belong to a cult? Were they satanic worshipers? If we know all that stuff, we utilize that in our investigations. When we walk in there, we're not interviewing a rock, okay? We don't go around and we don't just walk around, wave a bunch of equipment around and be very dull, personable. We go there with explosive personalities, and like I said, we create that emotional energy. We go there as if they're intelligent. And we know that we come across intelligent and residual entities, and we do that a lot. Residual, they don't know we're there. It's just a repetitive record going around and around. That's an energy. But there is intelligence. If we can taunt and provoke the more demonic entities and get responses, get scratched, get attacked, we're dealing with intelligence. Intelligence equals life. Life on the other side is life after death. That's a very powerful thing.
And let's face it, it's a lot more exciting too.
Your show is very, very entertaining. We actually took a poll of our readers, I don't know, a couple months ago, and Ghost Adventures came up as everybody's favorite. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, they're going to, you know, I really, again, it's just been an awesome experience, not just doing this, but the most important thing outside of that is the network, is the Travel Channel, and what they have done for us. They let us do whatever we really want to do. They let us preserve the rawness that we never wanted to lose from our documentary. And when we're really getting locked in there, that is the three of us really getting locked in there. We don't use a deadbolt lock in all those doors for a dramatic event. When we go there, people in the town know we're there. Hey, we're in a huge mental hospital. We may be 1,000 yards from where we got locked in. I don't want somebody breaking in and contaminating our investigation. We lock ourselves in to preserve the rawness of our investigation and not to contaminate any valuable evidence, and audio evidence is a very crucial and integral part of evidence. But with our new episodes coming, season two, this is the most excited that I have ever been in my life. Aaron and Nick, we have just been to some awesome locations. We're not trying to outdo season one. It's just the way things are panning out in terms of the investigations we're finding. It's just amazing. But the most important thing is we're coming more scientific now. We've got a top-notch scientist, Bill Chappell, from Digital Dowsing, who is actually partnered with us. We can tell him ideas for equipment, and he'll have it built for us. We've been almost nearly every investigation, we're trying a new piece of equipment out, and we're adding that to our arsenal of equipment. You know, it's one thing that if you hear or see something unexplained, but it's another thing when you have two or three pieces of scientific equipment to back up that experience, to back up that claim, to give you more scientific data to support that experience. And most recently on some of our investigations, you know, we captured something on video that was absolutely amazing. But now there was two other pieces of equipment that helped us kind of prove that this is, you know, almost proof positive for something paranormal, is just having that data. And that's something like when we did our documentary, we didn't know anything about. So we're really gaining that side of our scientific side more and more and more. And I think that that's one of the most important things. But again, the thing that really separates us from else is just our emotional energy. And that's kind of the investigation style that we do. But, you know, it's kind of like mixed martial arts, you know, on the UFC, the cage fighters. The old days, they all just did kickboxing or karate. But now, every fighter is mixed martial arts. They know everything, grappling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai. You have to diversify yourself in all aspects of investigations. That's why we have the Ghost Adventures crew. We meet a lot of people on every single one of our episodes. We bring in different people. We bring in a third party that we really sometimes haven't even met yet. We present them our raw footage, our evidence. We like to hear their analysis of our evidence. We really like that. Sometimes they pick up things we didn't even see. That's kind of how we do our stuff, and it will never change.
You've talked about demonics and residual hauntings and as well mm-hmm. as intelligent. Have you ever experienced anything like a poltergeist or possession?
Yes. I will say I have experienced a possession. And this happened currently filming our season two. It did happen. However, I don't think it was a demon that possessed me. It was a different spirit. It freaked Nick and Aaron the F out. They said I didn't even look like myself. And, you know, it became very, very serious. We had to call upon somebody. And I think that this may be our lead-off episode for season two. It was an amazing experience. Crazy to say I liked it. You know, this is my life. And like I said, you know, it's sick to say that I enjoy when we get harmed or when we get possessed or something, but possession's a very serious thing. We work with a bishop, archbishop, exorcist, who we talk to almost every week, who guides us in certain steps of what happens if we do become possessed. There are things that we do to protect ourselves before and after investigations. And this is all stuff that the bishop exorcist has trained us in. We have experienced poltergeist activity on a few occasions. In our documentary, we saw some debris move, and that was absolutely insane, especially when you've never seen that. You don't just see something move. You feel almost as if it's a shockwave of darkness that just penetrates the inside. And when you feel that, it really has weird effects on you. It manipulates your emotions. You don't really know who you are sometimes, or because you're feeling the energy of somebody else. That's what I believe. And a lot of times, you know, now we're doing these investigations. We'll walk in investigations. I'm not a psychic. But, you know, I will say that you become sensitive to spiritual energy after you do this for so long. You know, Nick and I were just talking about that recently, how crazy it is. You can go somewhere 2 hours and not feel anything, you know, and then all of a sudden you take that one step and boom, the hairs on your arms stand up, the goosebumps come, your head goes fuzzy, and what do? We break out the EMF detector, we break out the temperature. What are we trying to do? We're trying to gain more scientific data to try and, you know, prove that this is something paranormal that we're experiencing in this moment. Yeah, it's the places that we're choosing are places that are notorious for poltergeist activity, demonic entities. Those are the places that we really only go to. Hey, you know, a demonic entity, poltergeist activity, what does that equal? That equals activity. You know, hostile people are very active. Well, hostile spirits are more active. I mean, what are you going to do? You take a serial killer that killed a lot of people, and you know, he's in purgatory, he's here, he's an evil spirit. Now the spirit knows that he's got an advantage on you. He's wearing the invisible cloak. So, you know, his activity is going to now multiply. It happens a lot.
So what are the dark entities? Like at Bobby Mackey's, what is it that's there? What is it? Is it a demon?
I think it's two different things. I think there's a demonic entity that is not a human spirit. It's a demonic entity. And then there's evil spirits who that are actually the spirits of the people who are evil in life. You've got Bobby Mackey's. You've got a well-known satanic worshiping site that was a slaughterhouse that is proven to have a case where a blood sacrifice of a decapitated head was thrown down a well, where people have claimed this place as a satanic worshiping site because it sits on one of two rivers in the world that flow north. They claim that for one God thing makes perfect. There's a negative thing that's in their weird heads. So you've got a place like that that God only knows what happened behind within those walls of the sacrifices. That you have your proven human sacrifice of Pearl Bryan, who is pregnant with Scott Jackson's baby. Scott Jackson and Alonzo Walling, partners in crime, satanic worshipers. That's where they did their satanic worshiping. That's where other people did theirs. So that kind of energy there is amazing. When those two guys were being hung on the gallows, this is a written statement. They said that they are going to forever haunt those grounds, forever. And when you got satanic worshipers that have enough bad, evil, demonic, satanic energy to decapitate not only one head, but two, from the baby living inside that guy's girlfriend, you've got some energy that maybe the environment does not know how to handle. It's such a strong energy where words can't even be described that, yes, maybe they're residually. But when you go there and you start taunting and you get attacked and you get scratched, that validates that this is an evil spirit. And especially when I'm calling out the name Scott Jackson, you can't 100% pinpoint that as the spirit, but you've got a lot of relevance there that that's who it is. And when you get an EVP and you hear a woman cry and then a guy say, precious no, as an EVP, you've got Pearl, you've got Scott Jackson still trapping her there, probably. But, you know, we just had a live event there. And we do live events every now and then when we have time. And we'll bring in the public, and we brought people there. Second night, things started going kind of bad.
in the basement, and I actually had to escort and tell some people to leave. We let about 15, 20 people stay down there. The Archbishop, Bishop James, ended up coming there and was doing an exorcism in the basement because of some things getting so bad. And about 20 people were down there when he was actually, he had like holy water in his hand or something. It actually threw 25 feet across the floor, and he got 3 scratches drawing blood on the top of his hand, all documented right now on video. We were filming an episode there, but we do have night vision footage of this. And actually, it will be on TravelChannel.com. All of this footage will be on TravelChannel.com of the bishop being attacked and some of the other people there seeing demonic entities, critters with amber-colored eyes that myself and another lady saw. Just like I was standing 5 feet away from a tree in a sunny day, that is what we saw. We saw how clear this demonic entity was. And that place they call it Hell's Gate, it is.
Wow.
There's something there, and something's involved with hell.
So has anything ever followed you home?
Yes. It's something that we deal with a lot. It's something that Aaron and Nick and myself have dealt with. It's not a fun thing. It comes with the territory. More importantly, Bobby Mackey's first time anything's ever followed me home. And Bobby Mackey's is a breeding ground for demonic entities. Bishop James Long knows this, and he will make that statement, and that's been a proven statement, not only by the 29 sworn affidavits, but from his experience being attacked there, too, and being witnessed. I've been here at the house, and I've had a friend come over here wearing a like a rosary on her neck, and we ended up passing out in one room. When we woke up, the cross of Jesus was ripped off of her necklace. We couldn't find it. We were looking in the bed covers everywhere, and I just got up and went about 30, 40 feet down my hallway and opened up my closed door where my guest room is, and it's laying in the center of my floor. I've had another person here scream as we were watching television because my palm olive bottle was hovering over my sink and then slammed down. I have seen dark figures in my room where I have woken up and seen these dark figures surrounding me in my room. It's not a fun thing. There's things that actually I have been trained to do to help cleanse my house. It's been cleansed 3 times. It's something that comes with the territory. It happens with Aaron a lot. It also happens at Nick's house. And I think it's just, like I say, it comes with the territory, but we know how to help this situation so it doesn't go to the point to where we have to have, you know, an exorcist come and do an official cleansing of the house. We're conducting our own cleansings, and they're working, but it hasn't gone to the point yet to where it's been a full-on demonic infestation. But we're always keeping aware, and we understand the risks of what we do. And people need to understand that, is we understand the risks of what we do. And we're not disrespecting anything. We're going out there, and we're kind of fighting back for, like I said, these living people that are being victims of these attacks.
So what would you say to the amateur ghost hunters then who are going out and doing this because it's all in good fun and they don't understand the risks of what they're doing?
Well, the thing is what I think the amateur ghost hunters, if I were to give them anything, is just understand the history of where you're going, understand what happened there, understand if there is paranormal activity there, do your history and find out who's there. Not all places that are haunted by demonic entities and darker hauntings, of which we primarily focus on. There's nothing wrong with a ghost hunt. And when we do that, you know, a lot of times in our episodes, we will tell why we're doing this. They're seeing what can happen. That's all we're doing. You know, you're seeing what could happen if you do what we do. We're actually trying to help. Hey, this is what could happen. Do you want this to happen to you? Well, understand the risks of what you want to do and get yourself involved in. But I'm not saying, hey, you know, we have all this stuff happen to us. We get attacked all the time, blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, all negative energy that duplicates back itself to us. People love the paranormal. They want to experience this for themselves, and I think they should. They deserve to. They're alive. It's part of their life. They need to try and experience this. You know, pick up a digital camera and a digital recorder. Those are your two simple tools to get started. The first thing a person needs to do and be welcomed as a paranormal investigator is get their first piece of evidence. Go out and get a $20 digital recorder from Walmart. Go ask some questions somewhere. Don't take it to the point of where you have to taunt and provoke. You can do it if you want, but if you want to do that, watch one of our investigations. Sometimes you can see what happens when you do that. Hey, if they don't see what can happen, then they might go out there and try and see for themselves what would happen if they do that. But, you know, in our investigations, in our show on the Travel Channel, we'll show you what can happen if you take it to the level that we do. So we're not saying, hey, we're showing you how to do these dangerous things. We're showing you what could happen if you take it to that point. I mean, you got shows like Mythbusters that go out and they bust myths. And in fact, they're showing you, you know, what happens if you take Alka-Seltzer and put it in your stomach. Is your stomach going to blow up? They do that. They show you what happens. They get hurt. They get injured. They're helping you out. It's kind of what we're doing. But those amateur ghost hunters, pick up a digital recorder, pick up a camera, take some pictures, see if you have any kind of cool anomalies that you're getting that you can't explain. You're now investigating your own evidence. That's the first part of being a paranormal investigator, investigation. Investigate your own findings. When you start looking through those photos, looking for things, hey, there you go. You're investigating now. You're investigating your own evidence. That's the most important thing. And the digital recorders, EVP, is very simple to understand and very simple to capture.
That's true. So what are you skeptical about then, Zach? Are you skeptical about anything?
I'm skeptical about every haunting that I go to. I'm skeptical about every investigation we go to. I become believers on every single location that we go to by going there and locking ourselves in for 12 to 13 to 14 hours. I believe in ghosts. 100%. Ghosts are real. How they're there, why they're there, how are they talking to us? How are they interacting with us? Those are questions that we just want to continue to answer and answer and answer and answer. Every location we go there with the stories that we're hearing, the interviews. So we haven't been there yet. We have to experience it or document it before we say the place is haunted. I'm skeptical of Bigfoot.
Yeah. How many episodes will season two be this season?
I can't officially say. You know, we've signed on 26 new episodes.
Oh, great.
You know, we have, you know, and we will be making a very major announcement very soon about a live event as well in October. But we're currently in the process of filming 26 new episodes. The premiere, there's two dates in June. We're still finding out which date it's going to be, but it will be premiering this June, which is right around the corner. We're heading out next week to film two episodes back-to-back. One place typically really got us excited because a university archaeological dig has uncovered some things that have not only halted us in terms of, whoa, creepy factor just went up 25 million times, but when you find out what this archaeological dig uncovered beneath the floorboards of where we're getting locked in, it puts everything to a whole new perspective, a whole new realm of what we've ever been involved with. But hey, there's no investigation that we will ever, ever turn down, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter what's going on there with the human people there, the living people. We will never, ever turn down an investigation. So yeah, we're really excited. And, you know, 26 new episodes. And in a couple weeks, we're heading overseas. We got a couple shoots that were a couple investigations we're doing overseas. One of the places we're doing has been called the most haunted place in the entire world. And it's taken us a year to secure this place. I don't think anybody's really done this place before. And this has been a dream of Nick and mine. This is the cherry on top of the sundae for paranormal investigating and the cherry for our lockdown. This is going to be one hell of a lockdown, and no pun intended with the word hell. But it's going to be amazing, man. These investigations that we've done have been just absolutely freaking amazing. And I can't wait for season two to get going here so everybody can see what we got.
I have just one other, and that's because I've had a lot of people mention this to me, and it's The Flying Brick. There's been, there was so much buzz when the brick flew, and so I just wanted to ask you about that. Can you tell me a little bit about the brick?
Yeah, when you get a really good piece of evidence, and it's paranormal evidence, you're going to hear the buzz, as you say, quote-unquote, the buzz. You're going to hear the skeptic buzz, oh, gosh, it didn't happen, this, that, blah, 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 blah. You know, that thing that flew when we were down in there, the Goldfield Hotel was amazing. Not only did we do a lot of research on it, but it's just a very eerie place. But when we were down there and we heard a series of noises down there, and then after that happened, we caught this weird voice, and then this other voice that said Nick's name. But when we went into that back room, we couldn't see anything. All we could see is through our LCD screens. And when we walked into that room, Nick was like, "This is the room." And I'm like, "Which one?" And then he was like, "The one that they say that they had that has the portal in it, the vortex that shoots up through the other two floors." As soon as we walked in there, not only because he said that, and we knew that this was the room that possibly had this vortex in it, but you could feel as if you were walking through, I think, what is it, Stargate Atlantis, when they have that big circular thing and it looks like a sideways water line, and you put your arm through it, and it just now just feels differently. That's what it was like when we walked in there. We just saw something fly, this brick. And when we saw that, and when that took off, that's when I explained this shockwave, this dark shockwave that hit us. And we took off running because it was scary as hell. And I remember Nick was just completely wiped out. His mind, he couldn't speak and talk, and I was the opposite. And it was really weird. When we analyzed this footage and we showed it to some other people, you know, we discovered that not was this the only thing that flew, but there was some other stuff also. It was like a whirlwind. This board picked up in the opposite direction of the brick and hit that cement wall over there. We never knew we captured that. We actually had that in our documentary, just that brick. And we actually had to go back because we sent this raw footage to a video guy, and he cleaned it up a little bit and found this other board flying in the opposite direction and other stuff flying up. Like I said, it was like a whirlwind of debris. You know, that was just an amazing thing to experience. But, yeah, there's always going to be skeptics. That comes with this territory. As long as I know, in my heart and in my mind, 100% what I've experienced, that's the most important thing. You know, they can believe or not believe. It's not my issue with that. You know, but I would love to try and disprove the skeptics and show them all of this evidence and turn them from a skeptic into a believer. But as long as I know and as long as my crew knows what happened, really happened to us when we're there, that's what I truly care about. And if people don't want to believe, then they don't choose to. That's fine.
Yep, you want to know for you.
Mm-hmm. Our show on the Travel Channel, I just would like, is very an interactive show. And there's a lot of new things that we're putting on TravelChannel.com on our website, which is TravelChannel.com/ghost adventures. I mean, we're going to be putting up the footage from the Bob Mackie event where the exorcist was attacked. And some other things have happened, you know, and a lot more interactive vlog videos. There's going to be some footage put up there of just us currently filming season two, some behind-the-scenes type stuff, if they could visit there. And I just wanted to add one other thing, though, which is the most important thing, is some of these investigations that we do and some of the evidence that we capture, like you just asked me about the brick, when we did a live event there too, okay? And when we did a live event there, we have a video actually that will soon be on our documentary DVD that we're going to add on there as like a, you know, another feature that you can watch. But when we do these events, they're really cool because other people can try and see if they can see what happened to us when we were locked in there by ourselves. And one thing I wanted to add about the brick is when we did our live event there, we went on like the third floor and we had about 50 people in pitch black just sit on the openings to all the little hotel rooms. It looked like a runway. Everybody had their red lights from their digital recorders and their infrared. And I was walking along that runway. And all of a sudden, we start hearing these noises. Just tsh, 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 tsh. And we all look over, and all these little rocks are being picked up off of the floor. You got 50 people witnessing this. Rocks are being picked up off the floor and shooting down to the end of the hallway, hitting this one guy. And the battery is drained on all his equipment. He must have had two digital recorders, two cameras, everything going. And they were flying past people sitting on the sides there. And again, it's huge gratification. Yeah, I didn't like seeing the exorcist be attacked, but when you have other people there and they're actually filming this stuff too, it really helps us, you know, and that is a major integral part of hushing a skeptic, is when we bring third-party people and they witness what's happened to us. They've witnessed paranormal poltergeist activity at Goldfield Hotel, something that we captured. You know, they witness a clergy member being attacked and scratched, just like I was. How can you dispute that? How can you argue with that? And that's what we like to do, and sometimes that's why we like to do these events as well.
You know, I'd be interested in, where can I find some information on the events?
Okay, well, we have, like on YouTube, if you just go under the user GAC, I believe, I forget which one it is, but if you just type in GAC Ghost Hunt, I mean, there's videos and clips. And then also on travelchannel.com on our website, /ghostadventures, you will see some of the most, you know, amazing footage from our Bob Mackie event. And we're putting that together right now, which will be uploaded there. So everybody can see, hey, this is what happened when a bunch of third-party people came, similar stuff that happened to them and their lockdown. But one last thing, too, another website is ghostadventurescrew.com. That is a wealth of information there as well. That if people want to become members of the GAC, just go to ghostadventurescrew.com. We're expanding. We have thousands of members. We're expanding. We do go through a very strict application process. We actually have a forum on there as well. We have a forum on travelchannel.com as well. But those are the two main websites, is ghostadventurescrew.com and then also our Travel Channel website as well.
That's for an investigation group to apply to.
Yeah. They can go on ghostadventurescrew.com and apply through there. They can just, when they go to that website, they'll see the GAC organization. And then once they click on that coffin button, there'll be a link there that you'll push to get your application.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. That was our interview with Zach Bagans just a few weeks ago. I wanted to thank Zach and the Travel Channel and also Scott Mannon. We had a really good time doing the interview. If you have any questions or comments, you know where to find us, editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next time, thanks. Bye.
If you'd like to be a panelist on Paranormal Underground Presents or have a guest or topic suggestion, please email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Thank you for joining us.